Okay, welcome to the February 15th meeting of the Lane Transit Board of Directors. I'll call roll. Kelly Sullivan.
Here.
Heather Murphy.
Here.
Lawrence Green.
Here.
Michelle Weber.
Here.
Pete Knox.
Here.
Susan Cox.
Here.
All are present. I don't have any comments this evening, so I'll turn it over to comments from the general manager.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Just a few brief comments. We've had a lot of discussions here internally among staff about LTD and what we look like in the future and what communities need us to look like in the future and how we deliver services. And some of that conversation is happening outside in the business community and outside these walls as well. So we've talked about this before. We're kicking off a process to understand how we're communicating and outreaching in our communities. We're going through a couple of different studies to assess our services that were already planned planned to happen this year. But then we're going to try to have the conversation through a SWOT analysis of our service of, you know, what works and what works best. How can we be even sharper? How can we provide more utility to the communities that we serve? So we're going to start that conversation internally here this week. We'll be bringing that to the board in a work session where we are to give you that feedback and get your feedback rather at a work session. We're also going to be bringing our public safety to a work session to help give a look at, you know, the work that these fine folks do day in and day out, so we get a real live look at what the conditions on the street are. And that's not a criticism of any organization. All the organizations in the community are working hard. We have great partnerships with Eugene PD, Springfield PD, Cahoots. We have fantastic partnerships. But there's a reality of the work that's being done and the character of that's on the street right now. So we want to give an update on where we are with that. And then finally, we are going to be putting together opportunities to ride the service and interact with the service. We're going to be putting together opportunities for community leaders, for this board, for some elected officials to get on the service and interact with customers, interact with our frontline employees, and get a feel for how we deliver service. So just wanted to share those things that are upcoming with this board. We also had our second town hall meeting yesterday. Yesterday was my end of my 100 days here at LTD. So we circled back on some things, and I'm sure we'll have a part three. There were quite a few questions that we want to make sure when it completely answer fully so that folks have that information. So we'll circle back on that as well. That will be made available by video, and when it is, we'll send it out to you. So I'll stop there. If there's any questions on any of those items or any others, I'd be happy to take them.
Any questions of Jameson? Great. Thank you, Jameson. Any announcements or additions to the agenda? Seeing none. First item we have this evening is recognizing an employee of the month for February, and Daryl will do the presentation. Oops.
Okay, good evening, everyone. How are we doing?
Good.
Okay. President Grimaldi, members of the board, I'd like to take this time to tell you that I appreciate you letting me come up here and really show what we have as far as our instructors, operators here. It is my pleasure to present Rob Kirkpatrick with this award. Rob was nominated, as you can see there, for his assistance with a couple that was having car trouble. They got on the bus, they didn't know how to ride our system, they didn't know anything about it. He advised them, gave them the tools that they needed to successfully get their business done. What he didn't know is that they had forgotten their wallet in the car. Okay, Rob provided the customer service that we like to see and that we encourage all of our operators to exercise when they're out there. He provided them with day passes so they can get where they were going. And you can just imagine what kind of stress that was, you know, for them. And how Rob stepped forward and helped these individuals out. I inherited Rob as an instructor when I took over this position. It's been my great pleasure, as I've told you many times, to have you as an instructor. He has never once said no to me. Never once. Okay. Hey, Rob, I need you to do something that you've never done before. He's right there to do it for me. He'll ask questions, clarifying questions, but he always treats people with respect, with dignity, and that's in adherence to our strategic business plan as we go forward. And once again, I'm really proud to have you. Hope you stay for a long time. All right. All right. Congratulations.
That story was amazing. I love it when people think beyond the rules and think about customer service and doing what's best for our customers. And that was wonderful. A few gifts. Here's a little gift from LTD. A letter, a nice certificate, and a pin.
Thank you.
And I think the coolest part is the poster.
All right.
And again, that's a great story and really exemplifies what customer service is all about.
Thank you.
And you're welcome to say a few words.
I would like to say I love my job here. I brag about my job here. I was one of the individuals that was laid off for a short period of time. The place I went to work while I was laid off, I bragged about my job here. And now three of the individuals I worked with at that location now work for LTD.
Yeah.
So it is a good place to work. I love it here. Thank you.
Next, we have audience participation. I noticed we had one person.
We have one in person and one online.
Okay. Why don't we do the in-person first? Bill Bradley, will you come forward and address the board?
We're standing.
Wherever you're comfortable.
Good.
Yeah. All right, President Grimaldi, members of the LTD board. I'm Bill Bradley. I'm the executive board officer for ATU 757, elected by all the members of the bargaining unit here. Wanted to come here and thank you for the vote on Thursday. Friday. That was a big momentous occasion. We worked on it for many, many months. We had our trials and tribulations as we went through it. We had a lot of leadership changes as we went through it, a lot of board changes as we went through it, but we persevered. And I think at the end, what we came out was a great foundation to continue to build LTD as a pinnacle in this community. As a kind of a pinnacle in the state, I think LTD has always done innovative things. We've always treated our employees pretty well. And I think other agencies have always looked to us as somebody to follow. And that was kind of slipping. So it was really nice to be able to have an agreement where we can be proud of it, where we can go out and we can recruit again, where we can get back to our retention numbers that we're used to, and focus on the work again. Because that's what we really need to do. That's what we kind of lost focus on. Was doing the work for the community. Like Rob said, you know, our employees, our members here love doing their job. They love the interaction with their riders. You know, they love to go home at the end of the day and say what they did to their families. And we want them to focus on that. And that's where we're at. So we're focusing on the right things now. And it takes us as leaders, you guys as boards, John Gangle, my recording secretary, myself, Mr. Otten, to continue to make that progress, to move this place forward. I think we're at a great moment. We're doing a good job. I know Daryl didn't introduce himself. He's a training supervisor. We want him to have a big job. We want him to be training a lot of folks. We need to onboard a lot of bus operators, to make this service work for the community the way it was working for the community, moving 11 million people a year. You know, we are not at that number. We're not close to that number. That's where we need to get to again and exceed that. That shouldn't be the highlight of LTD's, you know, history. You know, we should always be building upon that number, and we need to get back there, and that takes people. And not Rob, not only the employee of the month, but probably the recruiter of the year. I mean, can we make a new award for that guy? I mean, yeah, I think he's doing a yeoman's work, bringing people in, and that's what we need our employees doing, is bringing more people in. I think we gave him a reason to do that, and we're going to continue to do that. We're going to encourage our members to do that. So I want to say thanks. Thanks for all that you do for LTD and the community, and look forward to continue to talk to you about the issues and move this place forward.
Thank you, Bill. Your comments are appreciated. We have one person online who'd like to participate.
We did, but it looks like they removed their hand raise. So.
Okay. We'll move on to the next item. Next item is board member reports. This is a time to report on the subcommittees that board members sit on. I know that we got caught in a little bit of a schedule issue, and many members weren't appointed to the subcommittees until after the meetings. So we may be a little light in terms of subcommittee reports, but are there any to talk about today? Pete?
SPC, we had our first SPC. It's a combined SPC and CATC members. I think it went really well with that. Although we didn't really have a quorum, so we weren't able to get officers chosen, but did get to see some new reporting system that as far as ridership, which you're going to see in your packet, and a couple of other things that really aren't yet rising to the board's level yet.
Thank you, Pete. Any other reports? Okay. Next item is the consent calendar. There are a number of items there for our approval. Are there any questions or comments regarding the consent calendar? Okay, I'd entertain a motion.
I move adoption of LTD resolution number 2023-02-15-007. It is hereby resolved that the consent calendar for February 15th, 2023 is approved as presented.
Second.
Moved by Michelle, seconded by Pete. Any discussion? Okay, we'll do a roll call vote. Kelly?
Aye.
Michelle?
Yes.
Lawrence?
Yes.
Heather?
Aye.
Pete?
Aye.
And also vote yes. So that's unanimous. Thank you all. Next item we have this evening is the Public Transportation Agency Safety Plan. And David's here to present the report.
Good evening. My name is Dave Lindelin. I'm the risk manager here at LTD. Just to give you a little bit of history on what I'm basically asking for your adoption or approval of this. In 2018, the FTA created a rule creating the Public Transit Agency Safety Plan, which is real fun to say. So the PTASP was basically a requirement by the FTA for transit agencies to document a safety management system. So basically, how are we accepting safety concerns, either from the public, from employees, or bus stops, what have you, and how do we track them and how do we deal with them? So we, in 2018 there, in 2019, the Oregon Department of Transportation, ODOT, had a consultant that they hired to help smaller transit agencies to create that. So in 2019, we created that. And in 2020, the board then adopted, signed that off, and then we submitted it to ODOT. In 2021, Joe Biden signed the bipartisan infrastructure law, which added additional requirements for the public transit agency safety plans. So we've incorporated those changes. Some of those changes were the requirement that we have to create a PTASP safety committee, which looks at customer concerns, employee concerns, pedestrian concerns, all those types of things. So we've created that. It has to be made up of an equal part of labor and management. So we have an eight person safety committee that deals with that now. I'd also set up some additional training requirements, such as de-escalation training for all frontline employees, including maintenance. We need to indicate in there how we will respond to the next pandemic. And then also we need to, there's a portion in there that says you need to set aside 0.75% of your 5307 funds for safety related projects. And thanks to what you all did last month with Randy's proposal to work on the MX lines and all that stuff, we're good for 2022. So that's kind of a brief overview of what it is and what I'm asking. And once you guys approve it, then once you all approve it, then we will submit it up to ODOT. If you approve it.
Questions or comments?
Pretty thorough to me.
It's very thorough and important. Thanks for doing it. Okay, entertain a motion.
I can do this. I move adoption of LTD resolution 2023-02-15-01. Second.
Moved by Kelly, seconded by Heather. Any discussion? Can we do a roll call? Pete?
Aye.
Kelly?
Aye. Yes.
Susan?
Sorry. Yeah, aye.
Michelle?
Yes.
Florence?
Aye.
And Heather?
Aye.
And I also vote yes. That's unanimous. Thank you. It's done. Okay, next we have the Eugene Station Modernization and Operations Control Center update. Todd Smith.
Good evening, everyone, and good evening to the board members. It's nice to be here tonight in person. I have made a couple presentations on Zoom before, but being in person is much better. And I just wanted to, we're wanting to give you an update on these two projects. They're pretty significant projects, and I'm gonna be giving a detailed overview of each of them, more specifically of the Eugene Station Modernization Project. If I can get this to work. Not quite working. A little technical difficulty.
Now you're wishing you were on Zoom.
Yeah. So I guess I can, until we get that going, I can give you a little background story here. So I have some connections to LTD that are prior to my employment here. And that is that one of the projects is this Operation Command Center project, is this building. Well, when this building was built in 1990, I was a carpenter on this project. And so I've come full circle here now, and I get to be part of an expansion and, you know, renovation of the project. And it's pretty special to me. So that I didn't bring any props like nail bags or hammers or anything like that. But as far as that goes, I'll tell one more connection. So I was telling my mother the other day that I remember riding the green buses when I was, you know, very little. And she said that, she told me that, yeah, I was riding the green Meanie, I guess they called them the green meanies then. And she said it was Emerald Transportation. And I didn't know that. And I kind of questioned her. And then she texted me back, and I'll read your text. It's kind of interesting. So I think this is a good point here. Okay. So she says, anyways, I'm sure you figured out it was called Emerald Transportation. You probably don't remember this, but one of our bus drivers felt sorry for me because I had a stroller and all you little kids. And I used to take it, all of you, to the bowling alley on the bus. So he started picking me up right in front of our house. One time when I didn't go because one of you kids was sick, he actually stopped the bus out in front, came up to the door, knocked to make sure we were okay. And she, her comment after that is that I've always thought that was above and beyond. Okay, that's good. Thanks for letting me indulge you with a couple of little personal stories about LTD. I've got lots more, and I'm sure I can bring them. Okay, so but to keep on time, we are going to go over the Eugene Station Modernization Project. And that project, we have a lot of goals that we're trying to achieve with that project, and that's improved accessibility, improved capacity, improve our customer experience and inclusion, accessibility. All of those are really, the station's been there for 26 years now. And, things have changed. Just like here, things have changed the way we operate. I think back to when I was, hammering nails on this project here, I didn't have a cell phone, at that point. I don't know too many people that had cell phones in the 89, 90, but so our needs change as we grow and we develop, and both of these projects apply to that. So I'll get into the details of the project now. So if we can go to the next slide. So at the core of all of these projects are our vision, our mission, vision, and core values. And when we go to do our preliminary design workshops, we end up incorporating those in by surveying everybody. And out of that becomes the design principles. And we'll get into that later when I talk about the Operation Command Center project just a little bit. But for now, let's go to the Eugene Station Modernization. Actually, on both projects right now, just to kind of set the stage where we're at and what's happened so far is we went to the board. The board adopted the use of construction manager, general contractor. We also have contracts for Pivot Architecture to do the design work for both projects, separate contracts, separate teams. And then we have a construction manager, general contractor for each project, Fortis Construction for the Operation Command Center, and Chambers Construction for the Eugene Station Modernization. So next slide. So the Eugene Station Modernization, there's, like I said, there's a lot of work we're doing to improve things there. And one of the areas, these are the scope of work areas, and that's exterior improvements. And that includes some work around the pavement that we have that's old and in the plaza and broken. And we need to repair that and fix it, some pavers. So there's some of that stuff that's accumulated over time that we need to repair. And then we have one of the key pieces is this passenger information and wayfinding area. And that area, it's while the building has a very strong architecture and it draws people to it, the signage and the way we move in through that station can be, improved greatly to help our passengers have a better experience going through there and finding their bus, the bays, and having real-time signs to ease some of that uncertainty about when I need to be where. So so there's a whole component of that helps improve our passenger, the rider's experience. And then we have system maintenance improvement. I know those don't sound like very exciting things, but they're important. We have mechanical upgrades. That's, there's always work there. There's fire alarms. There's also some other things that we're looking at improving in that area. But then we move on to the interior improvements. And then this is where we get a chance to show you some of the work that we've done with some of the groups. So just to step back a second, what happens is we have what's called a sponsor program end user champion group. And that group is the group that helps us identify, you know, those needs that help improve that accessibility, helps improve the safety, the inclusion, and, you know, the functionality of the building. So that group's helping us through that. And then we also have another group that is a cross-functional group that helps report out and represents the rest of the organization. So if we go to the next slide, this is to help you orient yourself with the station. If you're not familiar, you know, we have, this works here. We have West 11th here, Olive, and then over here is the land. So the two buildings that we're doing the improvements inside of are, this is the customer service center, and that's the 1099 building. And then the next slide. So when we look at the customer service area, this is the first floor of the customer service building. And as we look at it, we're doing some improvements in here. I'll talk a little more about that. And then we're re-envisioning this restroom. And then we're taking this space here and we're turning it into a meeting room for the AWC, and instead of a kind of a blank storage. That used to be a coffee shop in there, but kind of an interesting change here. So on the next slide, we'll go into a little more detail. So one of the things that we needed to do is increase capacity and increase accessibility. And so this really lends to it. We have a couple of new ADA fully accessible stalls with sinks in them. And then we also have some more ADA accessible restrooms here. And then we have some individual restrooms. And so, and this is an open area here with a sink. It ends up having a center sink here to accommodate these spaces. So this is a different concept in restrooms, and it's been very popular. The Campbell Community Center has something very similar to this. And then this also, there's some sight lines improved here to the customer service desk, the way this operates. And then the next slide, this is the customer service building, so our center and the counter. So here we increase our capacity by adding another station. We also have accessibility, the functionality of this. There's more room. We open this up here so that it's a much brighter area. It's kind of, I don't know if you've been down there, it's really kind of has this dark feel in there. And this will help move us past this. There's a column that sticks out, kind of creates, we're gonna take the brick off of it and try to make it smaller and make it not such a prominent feature so that it provides better visibility in there. And then one of the big things here with the Eugene Station is this area right here is gonna be the new lost and found area. So all of the lost and found that comes from off of the bus ends up here. And that's quite a task to take care of all those lost and found items and have storage because there's cell phones, jackets, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so they've really been restricted in where they could store that and have quick access to it. And so that improves that. The next slide is gonna show you over at the other building. This is the 1099 building. And to orient yourself here, we have West 11th on Olive Street. This is the existing arrangement where we have the operations lounge and the next stop center. That's the way it is existing. This is very interesting shapes all the way around mm-hmm. here. And then we have this space here that's an office kind of storage area. So one of the things that was identified was that we needed to expand. And the best place we could do that was over here. And there's some exercise equipment that's currently housed here. So that expands our capacity, also provides better sight lines, better viewing. And then we move some lockers out and in that area. And the other thing that achieves is it creates a straight wall here so that when we go to do this next stop center, we have a presentation wall for meetings. Mm-hmm. Right now, we currently, these angles create a very difficult arrangement to present in there. So we can put the technology in there to have meetings and provide hybrid meetings if we need to as well. So that's the improvements in that area. And then in the next slide. So this project is a federally funded project, 80% with a 20% match, $5.4 million. And so that's, $4,320,000 in federal grant money. And the remainder is the match is the $1,080,000. And project is also, we have the schedule. We just finished this scope and cost study phase. And so that will let us move into design development. And we will start that in March and that will complete in August. And then from there, construction on that will start in 2023 of October and we'll move forward. And it's about 7 to 8 months worth of construction and be done in June of 2024. So, like I said, the next step is we're finishing this, the scope and cost. So we're aligning that, we have to make sure that we have the budgets in alignment with what scope we have. And we're working through all of that. We're at a pretty good point right now. And then finish our schematic design and move into design development. So everything's on track to continue with that schedule. And I wanted to just stop right there for a minute because maybe there might be some questions on the Eugene Station modernization that I could address at this point.
Any questions? I have one. I'm sure you're factoring this into your planning. I'm just curious as to when it would happen. But a project like this can have a huge impact on the people using the facility. When do you start figuring out how to manage that so it's kept to a minimum?
That's a great question. And that's why we went out with the delivery system of a construction manager, general contractor. So we've already begun that process. And we've been working with the group, the customer service folks and down there and others about how we can deliver all this construction at the same time. Because as you know, economy of scale is where you get your best advantage. But you also need to make sure that you can provide the services that we need to provide. So we've worked out a phasing plan that allows us to temporarily put the CSC setup over where we're talking about the AWC office and have some ways of cordoning off that so that we can have that work happen during the day. But there are times where we're gonna have some work at night. So that's another piece of this. And then the other side, we have a phase plan that we would do the operator's lounge first and move the operators into the next stop center and then flip it so that we could keep that. So it does mean that we will be without the next stop center for 3 or 4 months, but the rest of it should be able to provide all the same services, and I think we've got a pretty solid plan.
Great, thank you. Yes. Other questions before he moves on? Jameson?
Just want to also point out that with the reconfiguration of that meeting room down there, there's an opportunity for us to have different types of meetings from that centralized location. Getting here is, you get on the MX and it's a little bit of a walk to the MX, but down at that location, all of our routes touch it. So that it's an easier place for us to engage our customers, to have some meetings down there and to really hone in on what's going on down there. So it opens up that possibility as well, or that opportunity rather.
Okay, so now on to the Operation Command Center project. So to orient yourself here, we have a Google Earth image of it. We've outlined the area of renovation, which now expands into this room here as well. And then we're not going quite out that far, but it just identifies that the addition is going to be on the east side. And we also have a staging area for construction out here, as well as a secondary entrance to the employee parking lot, and we, with some access point through to the main bus yard. So that's kind of an overview, getting oriented with that. So go to the next slide. It's here's the project scope. So we have the operation command center with the dispatch. That's one of the areas. Employee lounge. We have multi-purpose training rooms, which part of the one of the reasons we have to expand is because the training room for the operators is over in the fleet building. And so this really gets it back over here and really centralizes our training and interactions for all training, whether it's operator training or organizational training. And then departmental offices and support spaces, those are always need to be changed, and the way we function has changed a lot over the years, so that's changing. An upgraded lunch and break room, the wellness center, which is right next to us over here. Well, there's a room between us, but and then there's a union office in there, as well as this boardroom. So that's the programs that we're looking at as far as that goes. And one of the things I guess just to touch on is out of all of this is that there's a the way this building is designed and been cordoned off, there's kind of a separation between the operators and the admin. And one of the things we want to do with this project is break that barrier down and invite more collaboration and more interaction by having, you know, a separate entrance for employees that they can go through and come in and see operators and see the operations and have a centralized lunch area and all of that. So that's another high level goal. This project is a fairly large project. There's a lot of square footage that we're dealing with. So it's, again, it's a $12.4 million project, a little over, and 80-20 federal and a match. And then the schedule of this one is a bit longer because there's, a lot more work to do. And we also have to relocate and temporary house the operations department, Jake and Brian and those folks, so that they can operate and the operators can have a lounge. And so there's a component of this that we're looking at and how, where that's going to happen and how that's going to happen. So that design continues November to November. We started in November, we're going to finish next November, and then construction starts about January, and then it's about a year's worth of construction. So we'll be fully in there and operating somewhere in that January 2025. So just a little update. We're in the process of, these are some of the design activities that we've been doing, the vision, values and goals. And so going down and setting those out, getting the design principles, which one of the slides talks about the design principles. We did a paper doll exercise and I'll show you a little bit about that. And then, out of that, we got a report, and we're looking at the programming needs, the space needs, and each room need. So in the next slide, this is the design principle. So working with the groups and everybody here at LTD, these are the four, five design principles that came out. Collaboration was number one. Sustainability and health environments was number two. Safe and equitable is number three, and flexibility was number four, and innovation was number five. And some were really close, but all of these, this helps us through the project to make decisions as we go. So we align the project with these design principles. And then we'll go to, this is the paper doll exercise. It was really interesting and interactive, and everybody had a little fun with it, and it got everybody thinking about what was important to be next to each other. You know, what you get all these sizes of paper, and this is that activity or function, and then you kind of organize it, and then you start saying, well, no, this doesn't need to be here. It can be anywhere, you know, and you watch that creative process happen with everybody in that room. And it's it was pretty amazing. So the next slide, we talk about next steps. So we're finishing this programming phase. And then we, we're going to go into, we've started schematic design already, but we're at that point where we're having our third schematic design meeting this Thursday. And it's really starting to form the shape. So things are getting a little more defined. And then we'll have another meeting to refine that some more. And then what we'll do is we'll come back to the board in April with a presentation by the architects that will have some graphic representations of what we're looking at. We'll do some processing with internally before we do that. But after that, I think that will really set the stage, I know it will, for what we do moving forward on that project. And I think we've got a pretty good base there. So on the next one is questions.
Any questions? Heather?
Can you give me a sense of how many staff are down at the downtown customer service center?
Well, we have, right now we have three people I know that are at the counter, and I think somebody else might be a better Cosette at giving that, yeah.
Sure, we have live customer service representatives and a supervisor, and then we have upstairs, we have accessible services working up there, so we have four or five people working up there, some of them rotate in as they're in hybrid, but. And then we have open spaces available for staff here to go down and work from downtown. So we got a few
responsibilities. Nice, thank you.
Kelly?
Oh, yeah. I just wondered who participated in the paper doll.
That exercise.
There was about, I would say about 20 people participated in that, and it was this spec group, which is the operations group that it involves the Brian, Jake, and the HU leadership was in that. We've also reached out to the operators. They didn't necessarily participate in that exercise, but we've done other exercises. I've spent some time over there, and we've done some surveys, and we've got a lot of information from operators too. So
other questions? Two big projects. Great work. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, moving on, monthly ridership and service report refresh. Tom?
Yes, and first I'm going to give you a planning lesson. So there's adaptive planning, where you adapt to your environment, and there's transformative planning, where you're transforming your environment to better suit your purposes.
No poetry? No poetry today?
Not today. I'm in a limerick phase now, and it's just not appropriate.
Oh, no, I would not be. Good call.
So, thanks for being here tonight and talk about, we're excited about being able to reintroduce the monthly report that we used to provide to the board. As the memo indicates, we stopped doing that in February of 2022 for a couple of reasons. One is it had gotten really extensive and a lot of details that were of interest to board members back in 1999, and it weren't that useful today. So it was very difficult also to pull the data from the old systems and do the calculations. So we wanted to kind of start fresh. And so what you have as an attachment is something that looks like this. It's a two-pager. And it's intended to be more, and we, as the memo indicates, we took this as an example from something we saw TriMet doing. their report has a little more data, but we wanted to take an approach where what's useful to the board. Let's talk to you about what's useful, what can we do. The intent here is that this is a starting point, and we want to come back to you, try and do it over the next couple of months. Maybe we can get into a work session where we can kind of workshop this a little bit more. But we obviously have a lot more data we could share, but not all of it's useful or timely. And we want to try and get something that you'll find not just interesting, but informative. And by extension, you know, this report goes out to the community as well. So something along those lines is our intended process. I am happy to go through the report tonight. So you can kind of see what we've got and why we put it there, or I can just take questions, whatever your interest is.
References? Why don't you do just a little?
Yeah, okay, that's fine. So we started with looking at ridership, and that's the general title. We can get into a lot more, but at this point in our history, obviously we're interested in where we're at relative to pre-COVID, and so you can see the way the data works. And I'll say from a planning standpoint, analyst standpoint, we're interested in the upward trend there on our ridership, and so you'll be able to see that. We might look at as it gets. Longer, we might look at ways of compressing it. Right now, we're showing monthly. We might move it to quarterly, just so you can continue to see the trend. But that would be the purpose of that. And you can see we've got some notes below it talking about how many boardings we have. We've got the MX line there that you can see in the fixed route. And again, just looking at the size of those lines, you can see that MX, we're carrying about 40-45% of the ridership that we carry in a month or week here on MX. So that's about what we were doing before as well. And again, you'll get the numbers in terms of MX and fixed route. On the next page, we looked at giving you some information on the service hours by day type. And so, as you know, we operate 3 day types a week. During a weekday, the five weekdays, we operate the highest level of service. Saturday is a little less, and then Sunday is a lot less than weekday. Over time, we'd like to change that, right? We'd like to get more service on the weekend. That's kind of an equitable investment, but you'll be able to see that in the report as we move forward. The other thing that is always of interest, both to us and I think to you and the public is, you know, how productive is our service. And so you can see here, this chart shows you'll see the left side there, the y-axis, where we've got the weekday productivity for MX is in green, and for the fixed route is in blue. So you can see, even though we carry 40% on MX, our productivity is much higher. And that's always been the case. It's 10-minute service for the most part. And it's always carried, it's always been very productive. So you'll see that, and you can see how things change. MX ridership is a little more sensitive to activity going on at the U of O. So you'll see some bumps there that don't necessarily echo in the fixed route, but anyway, that gives you a sense of the basic information we provide, and we're really interested in, because we got a whole lot more data we could share, to really figure out what works best for you, and again, might be of interest to the public.
Questions or comments?
Pete?
I gotta say, one of those things I really like about this new format is it's really easy to look at trend data. And I think as a board member, individual numbers are not as important to me. They're probably very important to you guys in planning, but the trends, or the overall trends, are far more interesting for us at because everything we do is at the 10,000 foot level.
Good. I had a couple of questions. One is the term boardings per revenue hour. Is there such thing as a non-revenue hour, or is that just boardings per hour?
Well, we carve up our time into a lot of different ways, right?
Okay.
And so the revenue hours are the hours when we're, you could say, people can ride, right? And we've got the other part of the time. So an operator's time involves not just driving in revenue service, but getting ready and getting where they need to be and things like that. Okay. So we're just measuring in this measure, the ridership per revenue hour, which is, I mean, that represents the supply versus the demand, right?
So perfect, thank you. Yeah. The other thing I noticed with these charts is there's I call it the October dip. Almost every year, you see where things go up, and then in October, they go down again. Do we know what causes that?
Well, yeah. So that's actually gets into the Thanksgiving. It might be November. I'll have to look because it's we see that all the time in the it starts at school. You know, the term is over. Students go home. You got the ridership dips, and it stays down. I mean, you can see on a regular basis, you've got, in fact, through Christmas and into the new year, it'll be lower. And then again, the students come back and like the swallows to Capistrano.
Okay. Other questions? Thank you for the refresh.
All right, we'll be back.
Okay. Next, we have a number of written reports, and now's the time to ask any questions about some of those reports or if you have any comments. Pete?
I noticed that our accident incident rate nearly doubled in December. Is that due to inclement weather, or what happened there?
Jake? Yeah, it was basically due to the weather issue. So whenever we have snow and ice, we tend to slide into things. So yeah, that's our big accident increase is due to that. And that would be when the shutdown started.
Yeah, I think we saw about 14 more in that particular day.
Yeah.
Incidents with the ending up, once everybody tried to slide around, that was definitely what the spike was due to.
And that was only the second time that we shut down service, but I mean, it was literally nice skating rink, and that was when we were getting hold of Jameson, who was out of town.
He planned it just there.
We were shutting it down. So this wasn't safe to do anymore.
Great, thank you.
Other questions? I had one question on the delegated authority report. I saw a contract with LCOG, some about a gang of six, and they couldn't figure out. That one escaped me. There was no dollar amount to it, though.
So I can speak to that.
Sure.
So what we have is I can't speak 100%. We probably need a better IT person for that. But we do have an agreement across the city with the U of O, City of Eugene, and other agencies. And it's just, we share fiber throughout the city. Okay. And so it's a kind of in-kind trade.
Yep.
So it's just us having a contract to kind of roll those terms.
I like it.
Yeah, thank you.
Gang of six. Other questions? Okay, if none, last item we have is items for action information at a future meeting. This is where board members can request that an item be placed on a future agenda other than what's already been listed. Any additions for future agendas?
I saw in the report that there's a plan for some sort of a public acknowledgement thank you for drivers that's coming up. And is there anything that we as board can do to help or highlight that?
Yeah, we will save information to do that. That's something that all transit systems do is have an appreciation day. So we'll make sure. I know, and Pete, I'm going to put one spot just a little bit. I mentioned earlier about having a public safety update. That was a request from Pete.
to get an understanding on what's going on and how we're handling different things. You've all heard different things that go on in the system, how we're bribing more and the fair checks and it's being randomized. So we'll get a presentation in to the board so you all know how we're responding. Okay. If you'd like that on the agenda.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Anything else? Okay, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone.